I'm Sergeant George of the Seattle Police Department in the Office of Police Accountability. The date is 9/12/2023. The time is 10:46. The OPA case number is 2023-OPA-0336. I'm interviewing Officer Solon, a witness employee. Also present is Sergeant Dunbar, representing SPOG. This interview is taking place at the OPA office in Suite 1800 of the Pacific Building. Officer Solon, please state your name and spell your last name.
Mike Solon, S-O-L-A-N.
Sergeant Dunbar.
Sergeant Josh Dunbar, D-U-N-B-A-R.
Corey George, G-E-O-R-G-E. This interview is being documented with an audio recorder. Officer Solon, do you understand this interview is being recorded and agree to be recorded?
Yes.
Yes.
Sergeant Dunbar, myself, yes. Have you received copies of the Garrity Advisement and the Seattle Police Officers' Bill of Rights outlined in your collective bargaining agreement, and do you understand them?
Yes.
Have you received notification of the allegations made in the complaint?
Yes.
Under the authority of the Chief of the Seattle Police Department, you are hereby ordered to answer all questions asked of you truthfully and completely. Failure to do so may result in discipline up to and including termination. Do you understand?
Of course.
You advise that you are being questioned as a witness, and should your answers reveal violations of the Seattle Police Department's rules and or regulations, the interview will be stopped. You will be advised that your status has changed to that of a named employee, and you will receive a new notification and interview date. Do you understand?
Yes.
At this time, we're going to watch the video. We've skipped ahead to approximately the 1 minute mark when the buffer period had ended.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally. All right, brother. Well, yep. I'm sure TCIS is. And I... Oh, he's good. He says, well, normally we don't give voluntary statements. And I said, hey, you're going to have to decide if you wanted to give a statement or not, but it does not seem like there's a criminal investigation going on. Otherwise, there would be other... What's that? Otherwise, there might be other people arriving, correct? Yeah, I mean, he's going 50. That's not out of control. That's not reckless for a train driver. Yeah, lights and sirens. Yeah. Yeah, well, there's some... Initially, he said she was in a crosswalk. There's a witness that says, no, she wasn't, but that witness could be different because I don't think she was thrown 40 feet either. I think she went up on the hood, hit the windshield, then when he hit the brakes, flew off the car. But she is dead. No, it's a regular person. Yeah. Check. Just $11,000. She was 26 anyway. She had limited value.
Officer Solon, how long have you been with SPD?
24 years.
Do you have any prior law enforcement experience?
No.
What is your current assignment?
I'm the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, the union president.
How long have you been there?
Over 3 years.
Where were you assigned before your current assignment?
I did patrol work. I was a detective in the gang unit, and I spent a good portion of my career in special operations with the SWAT team.
Okay. How did you prepare for this interview?
Consulting with a SPOG representative and understanding policy.
Did you review any video?
You just showed
Did you speak to anyone about this case or your interview other than your guild rep?
No.
On January 23rd, 2023, body-worn video captured a conversation between yourself and Officer Otter. Can you explain the content and context of the phone call?
Yeah, the content was mostly union-related, checking the status of an officer that was part of our union, to see how they were doing, and just to get some information on that tragic incident. I would say most of the conversation, I would say 80% of it, was union business, just to make sure that the member had administrative resources available to them to best look out for their best interest.
Following would be a series of follow-up questions. You may have already covered them in your recollection of the incident, but they will be asked any ways to provide you with an opportunity to expand on more detail on subject matters of importance. Was the phone call work related?
It was mostly, as I remarked just prior to that question, mostly union business related, and then some of it was personal in nature.
Okay. Were you aware that a phone call was being recorded?
No.
Do you have any recording of the conversation that would include your side?
No.
Of the comments? Okay. At one point, Officer Otterer says she's dead and begins laughing shortly thereafter. Do you recall what you said to Officer Otterer to make him laugh?
I remarked on how he commented on how fast the officer was traveling and how she unfortunately was struck by the police vehicle and how that she hit the windshield of the vehicle. And I was remarking that she was more than likely dead instantly, which was a tragedy. And I said that the city is going to have to pay out a lot of money on this one. And that was the context of the conversation.
At one point, Officer Otter mentions just write a check. Then he laughs for a few seconds and says $11,000. She was 26 anyways. She had limited value. Do you recall what you stated to Officer Otter to have him elicit that response?
Well, it was remarking on how the city is going to have to pay out a ton of money to the family in this tragic situation. And then how can the city, lawyers in general, speaking and negotiating on the city's behalf with the family, how do you put a price tag on human life? And that was the crux of the conversation.
Okay. So you don't believe that any of the laughing was making light of the situation or laughing at the fact that somebody had died?
I think without context, just hearing the audio, which was unfortunately captured in a private phone call, you could have that as a reasonable takeaway. But if you were to look at and understand the context of that conversation, it's the way police officers and us are, you know, human beings that do this difficult job, it's how we process trauma and tragedy. And sometimes officers use sarcasm and humor to overcome that emotional hurdle, which sometimes can be very burdensome. And that's how I take away that this conversation could be interpreted by those that don't understand the context of our private conversation. And I think that's a reasonable takeaway. But once you understand and capture what the conversation was truly about, then you're going to understand that there's another side to this. Understanding in the broad conversation that this is a tragic event and the victim is going through a grieving process. But police officers, we deal with tragedy almost on a daily basis. And we're human beings just like the next person. But we have to process these in a manner that allows us to go to that next tragic event. And humor and sarcasm is used for us as a coping mechanism.
Okay. It has been alleged that the named employee violated SPD Policy Manual Section 5.001, Standards and Duties, Subsection 10, Employees Shall Strive to Be Professional. What is your understanding of this policy section?
I deal with the professionalism policy when I read complaints to OPA, when OPA uses the professionalism policy, I would say more often than not. So I'm versed in the very subjective policy that captures the professional conversation.
Do you believe that the named employee violated this policy?
I believe that's up to OPA to provide that. takeaway.
Is there anything else that you would like to add to your statement?
Sure. I would like to add a statement provided by Officer Auderer regarding this matter in his attempt, from a union perspective, using the collective bargaining agreement and agreed to by the City of Seattle, as he approached and advocated for rapid adjudication directly to the director of OPA, Gino Betts. And I'll read it in its entirety. This comes from Officer Auderer, directed to Gino Betts, his title, and it reads, "Dear Director Betts, on January 23rd, 2023, I was dispatched from home to assist with a fatality collision involving a city vehicle. I am typically dispatched to most of the city's major injury collisions and fatalities. My duty during these incidents is to investigate the drivers of vehicles for signs of impairment that would make them unsafe to operate a motor vehicle. While en route, I was notified that a young adult female was severely injured after being hit by an SPD patrol car. Before arriving, I was notified that the female had passed. I received no other information, which is not uncommon. I did not respond to the scene, which is common in most incidents. I would contact drivers blocks away from the scene or in the hospital. I responded to the location of the involved driver at the West Precinct. After completing my investigation, I left the precinct. While en route home, I called Mike Solon to give him an update regarding what had occurred. The phone call was inadvertently recorded on my body-worn video, which had turned on. The conversation took place in my patrol car. I was the only occupant. During that phone call, Mike Solon stated something to the effect that it was unfortunate that this would turn into a lawyer's arguing the value of human life. Mike Solon asked me, as he was lamenting the loss of life, something similar to, quote, "What crazy argument can a lawyer make in something like this? What crazy thing can they come up with?" unquote. I responded with something like, quote, "She's 26 years old, but value is there. Who cares?" unquote. I intended the comment as a mockery of lawyers. I was imitating what a lawyer tasked with negotiating the case would be saying and being sarcastic to express that they shouldn't be coming up with crazy arguments to minimize the payment. I laughed at the ridiculousness of how these incidents are litigated and the ridiculousness of how I watched these incidents play out as two parties bargain over a tragedy. At the time, I believe the conversation was private and not being recorded. The conversation was also not within the course of my duties. I understand that without context, the comment could be interpreted as horrifying and crude. Without context, the comment is insensitive to the family of the victim, when in reality, I was involved in a conversation regarding the callousness of the legal system. At the time, I had no idea who the victim was. All I knew was the person's approximate age and sex. That being said, I do understand that one side of the conversation was recorded on my body-worn video. I do understand that if a citizen were to hear that, they would rightfully believe I was being insensitive to the loss of a human life. I also understand that if I heard, it could diminish the trust in the Seattle Police Department and make all of our jobs more difficult. With all that being said, the comment was not made with malice or a hard heart. Quite the opposite. My intent in requesting rapid adjudication is to be as transparent as possible. I am willing to accept any reasonable discipline or accountability partners and the Chief of Police wish to hand down. Respectfully, Daniel Auderer, serial number 7499. And I will comment on that this is indeed a tragic situation. No loss of life is acceptable in our community, especially at the hands of an accident involving a police officer. But I would be remiss without bringing up that this attempt at rapid adjudication is following the rules laid out by our accountability partners, agreed to by the City of Seattle and the police union. In fact, the City of Seattle approached the union to agree to a rapid adjudication process, and we agreed to it because it's reasonable. I find it unconscionable that this rapid adjudication inquiry to the director was not taken serious, and I question why that is. If officers do have trust in the accountability process in the sake of the conversation involving transparency, then I would like the director to answer publicly, and at least to me before he answers publicly, why this case is already out in the media and why this matter of rapid adjudication wasn't taken seriously
by Officer Otterer, who clearly owns the optics of this without context. And I think it exudes his professional conduct and how he has served this community for decades, leading in arrests, and he's a pillar in this department and in the union as a true leader. I find that people that use this unfortunate audio captured on body-worn video, which is unintentional in a private conversation, to use it to gain a political strategy against the union and against Officer Otterer, I think does the family that lost their loved one a disservice and makes them be re-victimized. Anybody that supports that ideology and supports that tactic should feel shame. And I feel sorry for the victim in this family. And I also feel sorry for the officer that took the life of this young woman. This whole incident is tragic, but SPOG looks forward to the closure of this investigation to make sure all the facts are put out there for context. If we're talking about policy, the loss of human life, and transparency and the understanding that officers need to feel as if the accountability system has their best interest in mind.
SPOG?
Nothing further from SPOG. No.
To maintain confidentiality of this investigation, you're advised not to disclose the information discussed during your interview, except with your representative or attorney, unless otherwise required by law or in a court proceeding. Do you understand?
Yes.
This completes the interview. The date is 9/12/2023. The time is 11:03.